Hey, I think I missed my cue there. Hi, and welcome to Caffeination 104. This is the 104th edition of the Caffeination here. We'd just like to welcome everybody who's listened to the show for a little while and say hi to all of our new friends, all of our new listeners, all the new members of the Caffeination. Hope everybody out there is having a pretty good work week. So far, so good. We're continuing the trend of being busy as all get out and work, so it's kind of interesting to... to not have a moment to breathe for such an extended period of time. But so far, this is shaping up to be a pretty good episode. First of all, it's only 8 o'clock and I've started recording, and second of all, which is usually taking place around 11, so I should be a little bit more awake. So far we have a whole bunch of good tech tidbits there. As always, we have our little bit of PodSafe music from the PodSafe Music Network. We have a little bit of tech talk. We're going to talk a little bit about what is it that we use to record this show, how things are set up, all the different little ins and outs of the wiring that I talk about. We're going to talk a little bit more about the love is in the air kind of thing, the whole Valentine's Day holiday coming up. And then we only have one little bit of caffeinated information today. So if you're listening to this show over at the stream at the Tech Podcast Network or anywhere else that you happen to find it and you'd like to find its home, you can return the podcast to www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. And just in case you'd like to drop us a line, send us some feedback, hate mail, whatever else you feel like throwing our direction, you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's blueberry. All right. And on top of all that, we actually have a sponsor. This show is brought to you by GoToMeeting. These days, whether you're in a business or you simply want to share something with your family and your friends, email and voicemail just don't cut it anymore. That's why you should try GoToMeeting. It's an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, your family, and all your friends. GoToMeeting makes it easy to provide training, share information with coworkers, families, and friends. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You can invite anyone to meet you online. Your attendees can see your computer screen on their monitors. And best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. But just don't take my word for it. You can try it for yourself, free for 45 days. No credit card is required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code PODCAST. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, the Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, so again, we'd just like to thank GoToMeeting for continuing to sponsor this show for a couple more months anyway. I know that I think our deal has been extended, so that's a very good thing. We like it when we can continue to pay the bills around here. So everything else seems to be shaping up pretty good here at the Caffeination. We have a neat little setup so far here. I haven't worked all the kinks out of the way. Everything's... interconnected so far, but we have a neat little home network set up right now. We have both Xboxes on the network, so they can get their updates and everything else from Microsoft. We have one laptop from work. That's what my wife usually uses to surf the net around here. And then we have two computers in the basement. One's a Linux machine and the other one's a Windows machine. Both of them are workstation class machines right now. And then we're going to be putting in a little bit of a file server very shortly. We actually have the machine and have the hard drive. Just need to have the two get together and talk. You know what I mean? All right, so that's a little bit in how we set up our equipment around here. We should probably just do that first. But first off, I think everybody would probably enjoy this bit of PodSafe music. That's just a little bit of a taste of what we're going to get into, how everything's running here at the Caffeination. Because I've had some questions as to, you know, how you do everything you do. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of funky sound effects or anything else. We just try and keep it nice and simple and provide good content. Hopefully we're following through with that. All right, so first up, like we said, here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, we have Boo Boo Davis and his song Shut That Door. Now, you're wondering, why the heck did you pick a song called Shut That Door? Well, first of all, we wanted to stay in the whole blues vein that we hit last week with Coffee Man. And second of all, it is cold as anything outside right now. And that's all anybody's been saying when you're walking around work. All the receptionists and security guards are like, you know, just shut the door. Come on, just quick, get in here. So it just, this title kind of jumped out at me. Hope the song does the same. Again, here's Boo Boo Davis with Shut That Door.
Shut that door. low. Come here. When you leave it open, you have black trouble. Mosquito. And bat. And butterfly. You shut that door, y'all. You shut that door, y'all. Shut that door. Take your car. You shut that door. Shut that door, y'all. When it's cold outside, you shut that door.
Again, that was Boo Boo Davis from the PodSave Music Network, and his song Shut That Door, in case you missed that a couple times in the song. And, you know, it could have slipped by. You never know. I have a real deep spot in my soul where I just love blues music. I love the way it sounds. I love the fact that, you know, you can portray almost any emotion through really good blues music without, you know, cursing, without doing anything else. So, yeah, I was like, you know what? I think we'll throw another one of those kind of tunes down. Even though it's just talking about something simple like shut the door, and then at the end he just slams it, so it's kind of cool. Hopefully you enjoy the kind of music we play here in the Caffeination. If you have a suggestion for something you'd like to hear, a kind of music you'd like to hear played, then please drop us a line at caffeination@gmail.com. All right, now we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to do the tech talk first since I already started in on it. I already told you what's on the network here at the Caffeination. I figured I'd tell you how the actual podcasting setup is running around here. All right, so what we have, first off, the way the Caffeination originally started, Caffeination Mach 1, if you will, was that we just had a little USB microphone, no shielding or anything else on it. We had a free audio recording application called Audacity, and then we just had our normal Windows workstation, which I built a couple years ago, had a plain vanilla sound card in it, still does. We run a really low-budget ship around here. The only expensive gear, I would say, that I have actually for running this show is the mic and the mixer and the cables. Everything else is very low-key. When I started out, there was no mic, there was no mixer, there was nothing. I've played a couple clips before. When I first started the show, the audio was horrible, so I wrapped the USB microphone around with a piece of foam so you couldn't hear all the popping, and then now I just have a different kind of placement set up. I have a little mic stand and everything, but I was struggling to monitor my own audio. If you were to see me right now, what I'm doing is, as I'm speaking into the microphone, I have headphones on so that I can hear how loud I sound. If I can't hear that, then I overmodulate as it goes in the business. You tend to start talking louder than you need to, and you can't really hear anything. So it just doesn't really work that way. So I realized pretty early on when I was doing the podcast, if I really want to make a go at this and I really want to actually have everything set up, then what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to I wanted to have a set number of shows that I had in the can, so to speak, so that I knew that, you know, I wasn't going to, this wasn't one of my hobbies where I buy all the stuff for and then just let it fall by the wayside. I have plenty of them laying around the basement as it is right now. But I also didn't want to go around dropping wads of cash on something, which I, at that point in time, being newly married, really didn't have. Still don't have it now, being a new father, but... you know, it's kind of empowering at one point in time to think, you know, I really didn't think that I was actually going to make it this far. So it's kind of cool to think about that. But let's see what else. We were talking about how I was going to be cheap. So what I kind of came back to said, you know what, I'm going to wait till right around my birthday and then I'm just going to ask people to give me money. I'm going to tell them exactly what it's for. It's like, you know, I'd like to buy equipment that's a little bit beyond my reach, so to speak. So, you know, if people could give me money in lieu of gifts or something like that, it would really help me out. And right around the time of my birthday, a lot of people did that. My parents bought me a huge section of the equipment and then I culled the money from a couple other different sources, and I actually got, you know, a decent rig to set up. You know, spent some money on the cables, the little odds and ends laying around. And then it was kind of, I'm having a little trouble with the audio in case you haven't heard so far. Kind of a little choppy. I actually have somebody popped up on Skype. So, hello, Rob Pod. How's it going? So I was looking around and I was like, okay, I need to find the best mic for, you know, the best mic for my limited funds. I need to find the best mixer. Now, this isn't the mixer that I originally wanted. I originally wanted one, and I'm not going to go into why I didn't pick it, but other than the fact that when I went to look for it, the guy was very mean about the manufacturer of that mixer. Since that point in time, I've heard good things about it, but at that point in time, I didn't want to go with something that had that kind of nasty reviews associated with it. So I have this, and it's a very good, very serviceable mixer. The other one just had some effects, so I would have been able to throw echo and stuff like that on there during production as opposed to doing other things, but it's working quite well right now. So I have the Samson SAMSON MDR624 mixer. It's a 6-channel mixer. There are 2 microphone inputs, and then there are 4 other inputs, and the 4 other inputs are actually mono, so they're only 1 channel, not left and right, like the microphone inputs are. So what I do is, and then I have a Samson C01 studio condenser mic. So the mixer was around $120, and the mic was around $70. It's a little bit more than I had originally wanted to spend. And then with all the odds and ends, I think it worked out to around $20, $25 of odds and ends, like the cables and everything else. So what I have here is on the output from the mixer, you know, my mic... Hey, sorry about that. There's probably about a 45-minute delay in between the last time you heard my voice and this little clip right here. But from the output on my mixer, it goes directly into the back of my computer in the sound card, in the audio in or the mic in slot. I honestly can't remember. I think it's the mic in, because for some reason the line in slot didn't work. It just could be because of maybe... You know, the left and right versus mono, I don't know, stereo versus mono, that caused me no ends of problems. Right now, I would pull them out and see, but actually, hold on 1 second. Okay, that probably sounded a little bit weird, but right now, the cables going out of the computer, since it's a left channel and a right channel, are both mono. They go, out of the mixer right now. Both mono, they go to a Y adapter, which is mono to stereo. The stereo gets plugged into the back of the computer. And then, to make the sound loops and everything that you hear possible, so the music that you hear in the background right now, as well as stuff like...
Oh, electronic mail.
Yeah, basically any songs, any noises that get played on my computer will show up in the show. The way I did that is, instead of having the cable from... Sorry, instead of having the cable lead directly to the speakers, I have it lead back into the mixer. So that's what it does, and it goes into one of the other inputs, a mono input, actually. So that caused me a little bit of problems. Every once in a while, an MP3 won't come through correctly, or something else that's really dual channel won't come through correctly. So it took a little bit of getting used to exactly how everything's set up. And for the longest time, I didn't have a soundboard. It's what I'm actually using right now to play all the musics and everything else you hear. You couldn't really hear that. I'd have to turn... Right now, I don't have the volume...
Why, you lazy crap for crap.
Yeah, I don't have the volume played out with all the music and the sound effects. Like, the sound effects are actually a lot softer than the music. So the music played at full volume sounds like this, which is more than mildly deafening. And the soundbite, if I was to play it at the level the music is right now, you wouldn't be able to hear it. It's like the barest of tiny little blips on the radar. So unless you're listening to this on like your headphones, you probably wouldn't pick it up. So I have a little flash soundboard, and you can find tutorials all over the place. I'm actually going to be putting my own up on how to mix this together. It's a really good idea to do for your show, because it's, you know, if you can find a copy of Flash, or you can go to a computer lab at your local university, they probably have it. It's really easy to pick up once you get a couple of the tutorials down. There's other ways to do it, but we'll get into them a little bit later on. So I have all this here together, and I'm still using the same free recording software, Audacity. Now, a lot of people upgrade to different Media Cleaner Pros and stuff like that, and I never really found the need to. At one point, I had a demo version of Sony SoundForge, and it did the exact same thing as Audacity. Just looked a little bit cleaner, had a couple more options that were readily available, but all I need is something to take out the little mess-ups that are in the show, to be able to cut and paste different sections of audio and to see the waveform. It's kind of a really interesting way to put it together, and I'm eventually going to have to do a video so that you can kind of see this whole thing. But that's basically how we have everything set up here. I hope you kind of take all that into consideration. If for instance you were trying to start a podcast or something like that, I would really heartily recommend that you do not buy anything more expensive than $20. Basically, your little USB microphone or USB headset that you could plug into your computer, everything that you're talking about, and just be able to get your content out there. You can do a search for Audacity. That's Audacity. That's the program that I use to record, and a lot of other podcasters, especially the ones in the beginning, used to record. So it's really good, really robust, and it does what it's supposed to do. So I guess that about wraps up the tech talk section here. Hopefully, at least our little rundown there. So hopefully you got a little bit of information out of that. And I guess we're going to move right on to our tech tidbit section. These are just a couple little articles that struck my fancy along the way. By the way, again, if you are listening to this over the stream of the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffination.com. All right, like I said, the little tech tidbit section we have going here. Anybody out there who uses Google Docs and Google Documents, it's an online document management solution. Basically, you can do spreadsheets and you can do word processing files on there. It's relatively, it's relatively simple. It's good for what it's supposed to do. You can share information with other people online. It's really nice for doing that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a good way to, have things like, for instance, the GoToMeeting promotion, the ad copy that I'm supposed to read at the beginning of every show. That's in Google Documents. Why? So that way I don't lose a text file. So I can just go to a website wherever I happen to try and record, and there it is. So it's kind of fun, kind of an easy little way to keep your documents online. I wouldn't necessarily recommend keeping everything online, but it's definitely a fun way to play. But there's apparently somebody did some digging through some of the code that's in this site and actually found that they're planning to support presentations. So through a series of different variables and stuff that they found it hidden in the source code, which I always thought was kind of cool, but they found like a view presentation, zoom in, zoom out. So they're thinking that it might be kind of like a Microsoft PowerPoint Online kind of thing. So I don't know if they're going to be working with OpenOffice to kind of smooth that whole transition out, but that's going to be a really fun thing to take a look at, really fun thing to see how it plays out. I just thought I should let you know about that. Now we have another unfortunate incident from Dell. If you remember the exploding laptop fiasco that was a little while ago, now there's a new problem, also covered in an Engadget article, apparently, but I have linked up the thing in Slashdot. It's been popping up lately with a lot of the Dell 17-inch notebook computers. It seems that there's a little bit of a problem with some of the screws that are on the bottom. They're putting... they're putting out anywhere between 19 and 139 volts of alternating current from any of the chassis screws to an earth ground. Well, if you don't understand what that means, basically, if you're standing there at your desk and you're touching any kind of piece of metal, and then you touch the screw on the bottom of your laptop, you're going to get a shock. That means somewhere inside there's a wire laying on something it's not supposed to. So if you are a grounded individual, if there's some part of you that is currently touching a grounded source, like if you're touching a piece of electronics or anything else like that, other than the laptop, you're going to get a very hefty shock. I would really, really be irritated if I was recording a podcast or something like that, and I was reaching over to touch the mixer, and at the same point in time, I was holding the laptop, and I fried the mixer. I'd be more than a little irritated at Dell, so... You know, Dell just seems to be a falling victim to, they got too big too quick, maybe? I don't know. It just seems like they... having all these really huge production problems lately, and it seems like there's no focus within the company. They're just all about putting out really cheap computers lately, so I don't know. I'm not a real big fan of Dell at any point, but you know, their high-end systems are beautiful. They're well-made, they're well-put-together, and they're standardized. All the parts are the same in every one of them. Their low-end systems are exactly that. If you're paying $500 for a computer and nobody else around you is able to match that price, there's probably a very good reason. Let's just leave it at that. All right. One of the problems that we actually come across in being new parents around here is that we're supposed to have a humidifier in our child's room. Now, we have this beast of a machine that takes a huge amount of water, and it's a cool mist humidifier. I don't understand the difference between cool mist and steam and which one's better over the other. I know that I used to have a steam humidifier in my room because I get nosebleeds in the winter when the air is really dry. But there's apparently, like, I don't know, we have to clean this new humidifier a whole lot more often than we ever had to clean any of the other ones. Like, there's this strange, I don't know, it's like a buildup inside the machine. So, yeah, that's about all I wanted to mention on that. But there's a new Wii humidifier, not a Wii, W-I-I, W-E-E, like a tiny humidifier. Uses one bottle of water. It looks like it uses 1 liter of water, which is inverted, like a bottled water size, inverted, screwed into the machine, and then it steams the water out. That's a wonderful idea, and apparently it's only under $20. That is if you live in Japan. So I'm really thinking about seeing if we can get one of these delivered to the United States. I know we have a couple of students in school who speak fluent Japanese, so if I can get one of these delivered over here, I'd be more than happy, because I'm fed up with the situation we got there. So I thought I'd throw that out there for any of our geeks who are like me and you suffer from the dry heat in the middle of the winter, or if you're a Southern Hemisphere geek and you're looking forward with dread to your winter season in a couple months heading up. So, the next thing we have here is there's a bill supposed to be banning iPods and cell phones on New York streets. Yes, I'm just going to mention this in passing because everybody else is mentioning this. It just seems to be a ridiculous notion that our government feels they need to protect us from everything. A couple people unfortunately got hit while crossing the street, not paying attention because they were listening to iPods or they were talking on their cell phone or something like that. So I have an idea. Let's ban the technology as opposed to trying to educate people or as opposed to trying to make people a little bit more intelligent about their surroundings. You know, stop all that look both ways before you cross thing. No, no, no. We're just going to ban anything that could possibly distract you ever. So... I really hope this one gets struck down. I think it only came out like yesterday or the day before, and already there's over 1,800 digs on this. So you can tell that it's a really popular story. People are really getting ticked off about this. And actually, I just refreshed it I'm sorry. We had 1792 when I started recording the show. Now there's 1872. A good year from what I've heard. But still, it's just kind of an irritating little idea that, you know, I really hope that Philadelphia doesn't pick up on this. There's things that I think you should legislate, like the fact that, you know, I don't think you should be able to smoke in enclosed public spaces because you're inflicting your choice on me. If you choose to plug your iPod into your ears and walk around the city completely oblivious to everything else, that should be your own choice. So, I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that subject. That we're just going to throw that out there. I want you to head on over to the article. If you live in New York and you don't agree with it, definitely contact your representative. Tell them how inane and ridiculous that you think it is. Or if you happen to support it, please feel free to drop me a line at caffeination@gmail.com and tell me why you think that it's a good idea. So, hey, I'm more than up for a debate. I'm always ready for an argument. So hopefully you'll propose a good one. All right, now the next thing it's listed there is all your bass are belong to us. But after the old internet meme of the badly translated video game, but basically it's a hacker attempts to break the internet. Apparently the internet, for those of you who don't know, is run by a series of backbone servers. I mean, for all intents and purposes, everybody depicts it as this giant amorphous cloud. That's right in one sense of the fact, but the backbone of the internet, the actual, the high-speed, super high-speed highway of the internet, where most things are controlled from. There's roughly 13 or 14 machines that are known as root servers. Now, there were probably hundreds more of these things laying around, but apparently somebody in South Korea decided it was a great idea to do a sustained 12-hour attack. Now, back in 1996, this might have done some serious damage. And even in 2002, which involves the same 13 root servers that they're talking about here, there was noticeable sluggishness on the internet. I mean, it was a serious and concerted effort to try and bring down the internet. I don't know why they're trying to do this. I don't understand that, but I can see going after something and holding it hostage for monetary gain. I don't agree with it, but I could see the point in doing it. I could see bringing a server down from a company or something like that. The internet is this amorphous entity which exists beyond country-bound lines, and I know that there's supposed to be a Eurocentric or an English-speaking-centric kind of mentality about it. Maybe that's the idea behind it. I don't know. But I really don't know anybody who hates the internet as a whole. So apparently they found somebody in South Korea who does. Here's the fun thing, though. They were actually able to take down three of these 13 servers that they were attempting to attack. Okay, it was within the past 24 hours, within the past 24 to 48 hours that we were checking, since we found this story. So on February 5th or 6th, 2007, they were actually able to take down three of the 13 servers they were attempting to. Did you notice the internet was a little slow? Neither did I. Do you want to know why? Because it owns. The internet apparently didn't even flinch when it took down three of its main parts. Can you think of anything else you can cut three of the main organs out of and have it still walk along functioning perfectly fine? I can't. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I thought it was kind of an interesting little thing. So if the Skynet ever does become sentient, yeah, we're going to have one hell of a time trying to pull the plug here. Alright, next up we have another little thing that I just thought I'd weigh in there, let everybody else know about. Apparently, in case you missed it, Steve Jobs let an open letter concerning DRM. Basically, he wanted to make his opinions known about it. So basically what he said is the only reason that there is DRM within iTunes is because the big four record companies required it. So DRM, if you didn't know, is digital rights management. So basically, you own this track, you bought it legally, these are the devices you can play it on. He doesn't think that it, just kind of try and sum it all up, he doesn't think that they would ever allow him to distribute DRM free music, but he also thinks that the fact that there's DRM enabled music is really holding the market back. And apparently the RIAA really kind of took his old thing or his whole letter out of context, and they said no, Apple is actually saying that they're about to try and license their version of DRM, Fair Play, to other people. And this is great. No, he said that the problem is with DRM in general, although I don't really know, like, I don't know how intelligent this is from a business standpoint on Steve Jobs' point, just because if they were to disable iTunes DRM, then you would really find out if people are using iTunes because it's a legal way to get music, or because they all have iPods and that's the only legal way you can put music on an iPod. So for those of you who don't know, this is basically how it works. If you have any other kind of MP3 player, you can go with a whole bunch of different legal ways to download music. You can put them on your machine, and your machine has to sync up and talk to them and say, yes, you have the rights to play this music. If you want to download from iTunes, the only music player that you can use is an iPod. So we don't know which came first here, which market is driving which one. So is it that everyone has an iPod because iPods are good machines, or is it everyone has an iPod because they're locked in? Personally, I probably would have a different kind of MP3 player right now just because I don't have that kind of cash to throw down on an iPod right now. So I have, unfortunately, a very large chunk of money invested in iTunes and iTunes DRM-enabled music. I cannot play that music on any other kind of MP3 player. I have to wait until I have enough money and buy a new iPod in order for that to happen. And it's just kind of rankling me more than a little bit. But still, I just thought I'd throw that story up there so you can tell, so you can go over there and check out for yourself. Again, that's over at caffeination.com. You can click on the link and head over to Engadget to actually check it. It's pretty interesting to see how far off the RIAA is taking this. I mean, they're really skewing his comments completely off kilter. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah. There's apparently a little... I don't know if this is a joke or not, but I think it is, basically because it involves the Onion Radio News, in case you've ever... Or the Onion News, actually. The Onion is a... how do you say? It's a farcical newspaper. It's a parody newspaper. So, apparently, they have stuff like... just strange things like... local man finds other shoe. Just strange articles, basically making fun of absolutely everything that moves. So it's a really good place to go over there and check it out. But they have an article, which I wonder if this would actually be possible. They have an article where it says that a local guy is trying to go over there. Ronald Franks is trying to play Gears of War, but doesn't want to spend $60 on it. So what he's done, supposedly, is buy a memory unit and go to Best Buy, there where he plays for hours on end, saves his game on the memory unit, and then goes home. So I don't know if this would actually work. It's kind of cool, but it has like fake blog postings about it. So he also won't budge and get the $20 for the strategy guide so he can go out and get a find out how to get all the different little goodies in the game. So he's been going to Barnes & Noble with a sheet of loose leaf paper and copying down all the little hints. I think it's completely tongue-in-cheek, but I just thought it was kind of cool, and I wonder if it would actually work. I think the Best Buy staff would kind of throw you out after a couple days. All right, and the last little bit that we have for this section of the Tech Tidbits, then we have two of the Love is in the Air kind of things, is kind of a little link to the littered skies, the large area of orbit debris that's orbiting around the Earth. It's really insane, the amount of stuff that's flying around up there. It's space trash, it's all other kinds of things. And apparently, the destruction of a Chinese weather satellite last month was directly related to being hit by a piece of space junk. So it's just kind of cool to see there. They basically have dots all over the globe and orbiting a little thing there. It's kind of crazy to see. I wonder if we're going to actually get there up there and do a little bit of intergalactic traffic pickup to check that out. So... yeah. Now we have two final little things here for the Tech Tidbits section. Sorry, it's been a little bit of disjointed tonight. But we have two final little things. Love is in the air. That's basically what we're saying here. We talked a little bit about some of the ways that you could get your girlfriend, wife, significant other involved in gaming. But apparently there's a person over at Destructoid.com who has the marriage plus gaming equals game over. And it's a funny little t-shirt they have on over there. It says, shows the bride and the groom. And the guy just has a little thing. It says, I just wanted a chick to play Halo with. And the bottom says, game over. So it basically talks about how he got his wife involved in gaming. Then also talks about the dangers of doing that. So basically it says, be prepared. She's going to be taking up a lot of your time on the system. So, but there's one thing that I wanted to kind of point out, and a lot of people seem to miss this when they're talking about, I just want a girl to play games with, or I've talked to people around and they say, my wife doesn't really understand my love of gaming. And Jen does and she doesn't. I mean, it's an on again and off again thing. She does play games, but she doesn't understand some of the amount of time I spend in front of the computer and things like that. But I mean, everything's give and take in a marriage, and this is basically his main point. I'm just going to read this one paragraph for you. It says, the main point that I'm trying to make here is that a lot of future conflict can be avoided if two things are done. The first is attempting to get your other half into gaming so that they will understand a little bit more about why you enjoy playing games so much, and the second is controlling your hobby and to know when you are what your true priorities are. Trust me, the denizens of Azeroth can be saved by a 13-year-old without a job better than a married person with a family to care for. So this kind of leads into the whole next article that we had to talk about. But basically, I know a couple people out there who've had severe marital issues over their addiction to gaming. Now, I don't think I'm addicted to gaming in any stretch of the imagination. I do use it as as kind of like my TV. I don't watch TV very much, although I am trying to wrap this show up because the one show that I do religiously watch is on tonight. That would be Lost. But I never watch TV, so I don't like the fact that it's completely static. So I like having that little give and take. So having Jen understand that is one of the very big reasons why we've survived through 7 years of relationship so far, 8 years. But still, it's kind of, he's right. It does really put it into perspective that says, you really do need to take a step back. Yes, just because she understands why you like it doesn't mean she's going to let you do it all the time. It's not like you get to move out of your parents' house and then all of a sudden you get to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Now you have a life now. So, and then the last thing I had here is kind of a thing that I actually got into an argument with my wife over. But Warcraft junkie fools Tyra Banks, wife, and a sea of women in a TV intervention. Now, let me just start this story off saying this guy is completely and totally off base. He spends right around 40 hours a week playing World of Warcraft. That is way too much. I don't play World of Warcraft because I know that I would get very involved very quickly. But his wife was in labor, or his fiance was in labor with their child. He went home to take a shower. That's fine. If she says go home and take a shower, fine, you can go home and take a shower, no problem. If she says you can't, you might want to wait around, you know what I mean? That is one of the single most important parts of your life. That's a time you'll never get back. So what does he do? He goes home and for 3 hours he frolics around Azeroth. Alright, that's strike number one. But apparently Tyra Banks decides to demonize this whole the game itself and say this is a horrible, addictive game where people spend hours by themselves. And the main point that the author's trying to make here is that it's not people spending hours by themselves. This is this guy's way of getting out there and socializing with people he wouldn't normally be able to do. People have a rich connection within the game, and that's why it's addictive. They get to find people who have the same interests that they do, and it's really, it's really a social networking thing. It's like the new MySpace for geeks. So, I mean, she completely took it out of context, and of course they didn't say anything about the fact that, if he's spending 40 hours a week and she's not piping up, she's not saying anything, and the first thing she does, anyway, at least according to the interviews, is to take him onto the Tyra Banks show. I think a marriage counselor would have been a little bit better of a choice. I think that there's problems within your relationship if you're not proactive enough to actually step out there and say something before it got that bad. Pull the cord out of the computer. Then they made this huge show of actually shredding his game disc, and they got up and they kissed. But the author of the article made one very good point. That didn't do anything. Just because you shredded this guy's game disc, just means he can't reinstall it. There's nothing. They said nothing about him uninstalling it from his computer. They said nothing about him actually deleting his account. Now, that would have been a show. He's ready to move on. He deleted his account no matter what level he is. And if he's playing 40 hours a week, he's probably really up there. You know what I mean? So it might even be along the lines of that guy in France who jumped from level 60 to level 70 within, I think, 28 hours after they bumped the level cap up. If you don't know what I mean, let's just say the amount of experience that you would need to accrue to get from level 1 to level 60 is the same amount that you would need to get from level 60 to level 70. It's a lot of playing, it's a lot of experience, a lot of monsters killing and quests completed and stuff like that. So he really had no life at all, apparently, for 28 hours, worked straight to get this done. So, kind of fun. Just, I wanted to send it on over there. Said, you really should go over there and check it out. It's a little bit not safe for work. The guy kind of flips out at any point, a couple points in the article, but his overall take on the article, on the on the event seems to be a sound. I thought you would find that enjoyable. And that's about it for Tech Tidbits, Tech Talk, and all that other stuff. We only have one little bit of caffeinated bits today, and then we'll send you on your way, just over 40 minutes here. I was looking online, and I was like, okay, there's a soda collecting website, apparently. This guy has links to all the old kinds of soda, from the New Coke to Crystal Pepsi to... Coke 2, rather. What was this? Pepsi Wild Bunch, Pepsi Tropical Chill, Surge, which my wife was huge into when she was in high school. She loved Surge. They have all kinds of things. Orbitz, which is a soft drink around the mid-90s. They have Pepsi Blue, which I remembered. It wasn't that bad. Just never really drank a lot of it. And the one thing that I was kind of irritated that they didn't have up there is Pepsi Kona. Until I realized when I went online and looked, they only debuted Pepsi Kona in my city. So it was in the Philadelphia metropolitan area that they had this coffee Pepsi come out. Around 1990, I think they said 1996 to 1998. And it was followed by a deluge of ads. And they had a couple other areas they... threw out different kinds of coffee, Pepsi-related things, and they said, the problem here is that it tasted too much like coffee. I loved Pepsi Kona. You can make Pepsi Kona by putting a half teaspoon of instant coffee into your bottle of Pepsi. Or actually a full teaspoon into the 2-liter bottle, and it comes really close to what a Pepsi Kona tasted like. Coke Black is horrible. Let's just put that out there. So apparently... there's a lot of failed Pepsi and Coke types out there. So, I have a link to the Wikipedia article on Wild Cherry Pepsi. It says the list of Pepsi types, and then they go all the way down the bottom. So they have Pepsi Cafe, Pepsi Chino, Pepsi Cappuccino, Pepsi Cappuccino, Cafe Chino, Cafe Latte, Cafe Da, Max Cappuccino, Max Coffee Chino, Pepsi Taric. I have no clue what that is. I mean, they just go through all these different things where they've tested them in different locations. Pepsi Lyman, Pepsi Max Gold. Apparently, that one was only available in Finland, Iceland, Norway, and the UK. Pepsi Jazz. And they just keep throwing these new flavors out there, and nobody seems to be picking up on them. I really can't think of a new Pepsi flavor that's come out recently that has stuck. There's a couple things that have come out recently on the Coke side that I think have stuck. Like, I've seen Coke Black for about 2 years now, so I think that one actually is kind of sticking around for a little bit. But still, I just thought it was fun to kind of look back and just send me any cola recipes or things like that that you've liked but they canceled. Like, I remember Crystal Pepsi, and the one thing in the article says it the best. I think he thinks the reason that Crystal Pepsi flopped as big as it was, because they basically, you know, portrayed this as the second coming of cola. You know, this was the newest and greatest and best thing ever. That you would be able to have this wonderful taste explosion in regards to cola and your cola drinking self. And what was it? It was just Pepsi without the food coloring. That's all it was. It was more of a budget-saving measure than anything else. It tasted exactly like Pepsi. It was just clear. So they label that as one of the largest flops in the soda community. So I just thought it was kind of fun to send that out there. And then tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about in the next show. We're going to be running down the actual methodology going through creating a podcast. So I know there's a couple people out there who expressed interest in possibly creating a show. So I wanted to kind of run you through the basics, allow you to decide whether or not you thought it was for you, and then, you know, just basically play around with some more technology, give you a little bit of update on the Linux logs, that whole thing. So I'd just like to thank everybody for sticking around through this episode. This has been a kind of a disjointed one. I really didn't think it was going to be that much. Had that little break for around 45 minutes in the middle. But then again, if you're looking to find the show and where this whole episode lives, then you can head on over to www.caffination.com for comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail. You can send that to caffination@gmail.com. And our MySpace friends account is myspace.com/caffeination. Our Skype ID, which you can, which we were talking to Pat from the Rot Pod podcast on for today's show. So one of these times we're going to have some other people on the show. Maybe work out that with a couple other people. Hopefully that'll work. But again, that our Skype ID is CAFFI-NATION. So that's Caffa-Nation. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.